Scorched. That's how many in Las Vegas felt when temperatures topped 105 for a record 24 consecutive days in August. Scorched is also the name of a new report from the Urban Land Institute on how cities can cope with a warming climate. Elizabeth Foster is with the Institute and one of the authors of the report. Elizabeth Foster, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Elizabeth, your report is full of ideas on how cities can use smart design to fight urban heat islands. First, though, how do cities create heat islands, and what are they?
That's a great question. Urban heat islands refer simply to the temperature difference between urban environments and their surroundings. So if you can picture all of the typical urban materials around you, all the hard surfaces and lack of green space, all of that absorbs and retains heat, and that makes urban areas much hotter.
Okay, we're talking concrete, asphalt, roofs on homes and businesses. So in your report, you outline ideas to counteract heat island effects. What are some of those ideas?
Broadly speaking, there are a couple different ways to build a heat-resilient building or design a heat-resilient city. So you can prevent the absorption of heat with light-colored surfaces and materials. You could provide more direct cooling for a more comfortable environment. You could use shade from big shade trees, for example, or from built shade canopies like umbrellas or awnings. Okay. We could also redesign buildings to better cope with extremes. So you could build the external building envelope or strategically choose your HVAC, your heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system strategically. And that way, when external temperatures are very high, you could keep that indoor cooler more efficiently.
Actually, we have talked quite a bit on this program in recent months about climate change and the heat island effect and ways to counteract it. A lot of people talk about putting plants on the roofs of buildings. Is that something that's doable in the Mojave Desert?
That's a great question. And I would say it's always a balance. So one of the things we realized in the research is that there are a number of opportunities to mitigate extreme heat, many of which are effective, but there isn't a one-size-fits-all strategy. So we heard from a lot of the developers and designers and policymakers we interviewed for the report about how they were handling those trade-offs. And so I think the best answer I can give you is that it really depends on local climate and geographies.
Now, Las Vegas and Reno are, according to recent reports, the two fastest warming cities in the country. We've had people on who say that's because of the heat island effect. Give me your best guess as to what might happen in, say, Las Vegas if the city and its urban areas do not start doing something to cool the city down, if they don't start right away.
Well, as you said, the trend is toward increasing heat. So without action, we would expect the temperatures to keep increasing. The research we did also suggests that without intervention, both the current and the potential future impacts of high temperatures would be fairly substantial, both for real estate developments, infrastructure, and even the economy.
Now, maybe something we can learn from is Sky Song, a project in Scottsdale, Arizona. I wonder if you could talk about that and what lessons a place like Las Vegas might draw from it.
Absolutely. So our research, as you pointed out at the beginning, titled Scorched, profiles a number of heat-resilient developments. And SkySong, the ASU Innovation Center, is a mixed-use development in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's about 40 acres large, and it has a number of heat management features that help it both manage its operational costs and also create a really inviting environment for its tenants and for folks coming in to experience the site.
It's a lot hotter, I think, in Scottsdale, Arizona. Give me one idea that you've seen there or that they're using that you think might be incorporated relatively quickly in a place like Las Vegas.
Sure. In SkySong, they prioritize shade. So they actually custom built very iconic shade sails that dominate the development and provide a great placemaking strategy and really draw folks in. They also implement shade on pedestrian paths, and they actually strategically oriented their buildings to provide shade to each other. So instead of spacing the buildings out throughout the entire development. They clustered them closer together, and that way they could help shade each other, which was really interesting.
Now, you're going to be talking in Las Vegas about adapting to a warming climate later this month, and we're going to have details about that at knpr.org. But, you know, in brief, what do you think residents in Las Vegas need to know most about this issue?
I'm very excited to come to Las Vegas later this month. Looking forward to it. One of the things that I was most excited about and sort of found most promising during research is that widespread adoption of mitigation strategies could significantly help reduce urban warming trends. So if you imagine widespread adoption of these strategies could mitigate that 5 to 10 degree increase that is currently projected for some cities due to the urban heat island effect. So while the problem is very serious, which is especially true for Las Vegas, which has a significant urban heat island effect, I think the potential for the real estate sectors to contribute positively and help mitigate some of those temperatures is high.
Elizabeth Foster is one of the authors of a new report by the Urban Land Institute on how cities can cope with a warming climate. She'll be talking about the report at a forum in Las Vegas later this month. Now with us, Stefan Lehman. He's director of UNLV's School of Architecture. He wrote a book on low-carbon cities, and he is considered something of an expert on how to mitigate the effects of a warming climate through design. Professor Lehman, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So, Professor, you're the subject of a profile in the October Desert Companion magazine, which is published here at Nevada Public Radio. The article has a two-word headline, The Realist. What makes you a realist?
Well, obviously, the author and I had a long conversation, and he saw that those things can really be done, you know, and this is not pie in the sky or things that are unrealistic, but our research is trying to be relevant for decision makers. We are constantly talking to Clark County, City of Las Vegas, about practical applied research that has payback within a short period. So I might invest now 10% more, but after 3 years, I have the payback and then I start saving energy costs, for instance, you know. And those kind of relevant research points, takeaway points, when I talk to cities, to developers, to mayors, they take this away and they say, hey, maybe we need to do something in the way we develop those projects. Business as usual is not good enough. And I mean, you agree, the world is waking up to the urgency of climate change at the moment. And so that's why we have this discussion. Fantastic.
So you jumped into that by saying, you know, these ideas can be used right now. Give me the ideas that we can do right now in Las Vegas.
Well, one important one, I believe, is crucial for us in Las Vegas, in Southern Nevada, is the urban heat. That's probably one of the two, three most significant issues. The other one is transport. Transport, at the moment, we do not have the congestion yet that Los Angeles has, but how far away are we? Yeah, I mean, we're getting more and more cars on the street, so we have to get smarter. And the third one, I think, is the question of densification and growth boundary. We cannot keep sprawling and expanding the footprint of the city further and further into the desert. We're going to have to say, stop, enough is enough. How big do you want that footprint to be? It's already taking us half an hour to go from one edge to the other edge, you know. So we need to densify in those vacant land parcels that are available. When you drive around Las Vegas, you think, hey, why is nothing happening here or there, you know? And so we have to find out how can we incentivize development to have more development in already built up areas.
Infill,
urban infill is one of the buzzwords. Rather than building more and more out into the desert, we have to stop the sprawl as we become more and more car dependent.
And are you talking to the city of Las Vegas, Clark County, which is the county that the Strip is in, about these ideas?
Of course. Last Friday, we had a meeting at the AIA, the American Institute of Architects Las Vegas, with the representatives from the city of Las Vegas, and they presented their master plan, Las Vegas 2050, which they've been working on without us so far. And we agree that they will involve us much more because I think it needs more work.
You know, and you have some good ideas, but here's the question. Las Vegas has more than 2 million people. A lot of them, including myself, live under heat-absorbing tile roofs. Those roofs are pretty much staying because they're expensive to replace. So is the awareness of the heat island effect, which those roofs contribute to, is it coming too late?
Well, as we need to rethink cities for the age of global warming and warmer temperatures, it is better now than ever. It's not too late, but let's get moving. Let's deal with it and let's retrofit those existing suburbs.
Do you think government, cities, states should be providing incentives to just homeowners? Well, to make those changes.
It's an easy calculation. If you own a house and at the moment you, let's say, have old black tiles and you want to have a new roof sooner or later, it was in the next 5 or 10 years, you might as well do it now, earlier, and use light materials, reflective materials, and no black tiles, because this is going to save you a lot of air conditioning.
As long as somebody can show you those calculations and prove it to you.
Absolutely. And then you will very quickly find that it's actually a good investment to do now.
So it does sound like this could be a budding industry in Southern Nevada, the retrofitting of homes to make them more energy efficient and to ward off the heat.
Absolutely. If you're a smart businessman listening, go into that, have retrofitting packages that you offer from neighborhood to neighborhood, and you retrofit and modernize and make Las Vegas more resilient, one at a step at a time, one neighborhood after the other.
Now, you're at UNLV, you're the head of the architecture school. Are UNLV students learning about hot weather design, and are they really, I wonder if they're into it?
Oh, very much so, very much so. They see the writing on the wall, which means you cannot get a job in future if you're not knowledgeable, if you do not know how to integrate those ideas. And so they learn more principles of sustainable design in my school, passive design principles, and how to make communities more walkable. It's not all about the car anymore. In fact, a lot of those young people, they don't have a car and they don't want to own one. And they're just waiting for public transport to become more efficient. And they learning about better design, mixed-use development that helps us to achieve a city that is ready for what's coming. And we know what's coming. More frequent, more severe heat waves. And that's why I think urban heat is one of the big tickets that we have to look out for. And we're going to have to start fixing it now because it's going to take us 10 years to get ready. And in the next 10 years, we're going to see higher temperatures. Temperatures are going to go up. And it's a public health issue, Joe, also. You know, people get sick, they dehydrate. And you know the figures. The death rate from heat-related death in Nevada in the last 5 years has more than tripled, and in Arizona the same, and in Texas the same. So these are the three states that suffered the most. You know, it's not just Las Vegas, it's also, for instance, El Paso or Houston, Texas, or Scottsdale, we heard earlier. So those are places that have significant urban heat island effect now already, and we're gonna have to have countermeasures to reduce the impact and to make it more livable and more resilient, because it is, as I said, a public health issue. The elderly, the children, the sick people, and people that work outdoors are suffering, and heat-related deaths are increasing.
Now, is that going to be the thrust of your speech at the forum that you and Elizabeth Foster are going to be speaking at later this month?
Not only. I think I want to talk more general about the importance of having good architecture. I believe good architecture makes society somehow better, and also is less damaging to the environment. It's adding value. So we need to understand what we can do through good design, not just quantifiable financial value, but also benefits to the community. The city, Joe, is not a private affair. It is a public civic one. The city belongs to all of us.
You mean so the city doesn't look ugly when you're walking just by anybody's business or home?
Well, one is the aesthetics, but also be less damaging to the ecosystem. And these are shared values. The ecosystem belongs to all of us. Global warming is a problem that concerns us all. So dealing with the general condition of the city and its urban form, which is always, you know, more important than an individual piece of architecture. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about architects that see this and have engaged more and more into urban design and into designing, redesigning communities and neighborhoods and make them more walkable, compact, and mixed use. Rather than just focusing on one single building, it is now time to understand the clustering, the grouping of buildings. If you fix that, if you get that right, the impact is much bigger. So we need buildings that have an urban presence and intensity, and at the same time help us in the future of global warming and climate change impact.
Professor Stefan Lehmann is head of UNLV's School of Architecture. Elizabeth Foster is a senior associate at the Urban Land Institute, and she's one of the authors of Scorched, about cities adapting to rising temperatures. They'll both be speaking on October 15th in Las Vegas. For more information, go to knpr.org. Elizabeth, Stefan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Great speaking with you.